powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 2 Peter 3, verse 11. 2 Peter 3, 11. If we confess our sins, third class condition, maybe we will, maybe we won't. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how a believer keeps themselves in fellowship, so that they can, on this occasion, appreciate and understand the information communicated. The only handicap a believer might have is a lack of background or frame of reference. But don't worry about that. Just get out of it what you can get out of it and go away with an understanding and appreciation for the information that God has for us this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have not chosen that path, but the path of life and life abundantly through the intake and application of your word. We thank you for all that you do for us, seen and unseen, so that we can have this environment on a regular basis. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, verse 11. He continues with the topic, but here we went from the subject of the dissolution of our world, our earth, and all that is in it, which is towards the end of the day of the Lord, and all members of the human race will be present in their resurrection bodies, the world of unbelievers through time, and believers will witness this fiery, noisy event when creation is in reverse, taken out of existence, and then the great white throne judgment, and unbelievers are placed in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels, and the believers will witness Jesus Christ creating the new heavens and the new earth, just as the angels witnessed the first creation. We will witness our eternal home being constructed and built by the one who is the creator, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. That's a part of his celebrityship. Okay. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this fashion, since all these things, we have a demonstrative pronoun in the plural, houtas, which means this, in this case, these things. In this way is an adverb, also spelled the same, houtas, means in this manner. Since all these things are to be destroyed, all is pas, of course, and destroyed is a present passive participle of the verb luo, which means to loose, of breaking something down in its component parts. In this case, to destroy or tear down. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, and that from the previous verse, when the heavens pass away, the earth and the heavens, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Okay. Then, is there any application we can make from this to our personal Christian lives? Well, according to Peter, yes. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. What sort of people is the adjective potapos, which means what sort of, what kind of. Here is a substantive. What sort of people you ought to be. This is a present indicative of the impersonal verb DEI, deo, to bind here of compulsion, as in ought, one should, be. The word be is not eimi, it's the present infinitive of huparko, to exist, to be present. What you ought to be in holy, hagios, the adjective, in holy conduct. The word for behavior is anastrophe, 13 times in the New Testament. Occurs 8 of those times in Peter's letters. And godliness. The word godliness can be translated a couple ways. Eusebia. This is the noun. It means devotion to something. Godliness. Used of a particular manner of life, occurring 15 times, and it occurs in 2 Peter in those verses, and only here in the New Testament in the plural. All right. As always, in the New Testament, and Scripture in general, the moral spiritual imperative follows the prophetic reality. We are to line ourselves up with prophetic understanding. The future. What's coming up down the road? What can we look forward to expect it will happen, which you have heard taught over and over again with regard to the sequencing of events, beginning with the rapture event and the 7-year tribulation, and all the details there, and the second advent, the millennium, and beyond. The fact of the coming day of the Lord should inspire believers, motivate believers to live the Christian life in a godly fashion. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, 1 John 2:28, he addresses his audience as little children. This isn't depreciating them at all. They are his children in the Lord, and he is to raise them and bring them up in the right way. Now, little children, abide in him. That means stay in fellowship. Keep staying in fellowship. Keep that going for you, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back. Two categories of believers. Though this is my point I'm making. If you're on top of your spiritual life in the right way and the rapture occurs, whether you're in heaven or on earth, the first thing that will hit you is you're going to have confidence. This event isn't going to go against you. You will have the kind of knowledge and information that you will have confidence. You know what it means to have confidence going into something. That you will have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. That's the two categories. Most Christians are going to shrink back in shame. How is that so? All who are resurrected at the rapture will have instantly in their soul and brain the full realm of divine viewpoint. It'll be downloaded in them. And those who didn't line up with it will know that they fell way short, and they will experience in their perfect resurrection bodies a time of shame. We know what it is to be ashamed of something. They will experience shame and go through the Bema judgment event with the last bad emotion, if you will, that believers will experience forever, and that is shame. because they will know and they will judge themselves as having fallen way short in time of the plan of God. I wasn't close to what I ought to be. You don't want that. Because it isn't just a moment of shame you can shake off and run down the road. It is something that you will have and realize that you missed what you should have been doing and what you should have been believing. There is a link between future hope and conduct. It isn't just learning about Bible prophecy. Yes, as with all doctrine, you are listening, aren't you? As with all doctrine, you ought to be enthusiastic about it. You found the real thing, the eternal thing, the thing that ultimately matters. And all this other stuff is to be put aside if it conflicts with you living in this world as a righteous, adjusted believer. Inscriptions from pagan tombs illustrate what happens when men reject God and His revelation. When the material world is the end all, the physical world, even legitimate stuff, I'm not talking about illegitimate, that too. But when the material world and the pursuit of the material world, the physical, is the end all and be all of existence, there is no recourse but hedonism. If you don't know what that word is, quote, I was nothing, I am nothing, so you who are still alive, eat, drink, and be merry. And despair, carry us, what is below, deep darkness. But what of the paths upward? All a lie, then we are lost, and apathy. Once I had no existence, now I have none. I'm not aware of it. It does not concern me. I just threw in some stuff here of the despair of paganism. The idea that Paul says in another place, because there was some Christians in, it was Corinth, questioning the resurrection. He says, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we need to just eat, drink, and be merry. Party down. Vacation, run around, do this stuff. And certainly we do see this in the world and in believers, unfortunately. Without the truth of Christ's return, that life has meaning, purpose, and definition. There's nothing left to live for, just for the flesh. Money, experiences that you see all around you, and the frantic first search for stimulation through some holiday that's purported to celebrate the birth of Christ. Therefore, draws an all-important practical application from the prophetic reality of the dissolution of the present creation. You might not have ever thought to link these two things up, that this is coming. And therefore, to be in the best possible situation as a believer, you need to be engaged with doctrine and applying doctrine and stick with it through all of your testing, through all that you and I will be asked to go through, because everything we experience, pleasant and unpleasant, is temporary. Even affliction, a life with this problem or this test or this situation, this all will pass away. So make the most of it. Deal with your adversities and your tests. I don't always deal with mine perfectly, but I do recognize at the end of it that I messed up. And I get myself back in fellowship and try to do better. So I'm just telling you, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to strive to stick with the plan no matter what is thrown at us. Since is an adverb which draws our attention to the things targeted for extinction by fire. These things refers back to verse 10 and includes the earth, its works, the so-called solar system. I didn't get that out of there. I'm sorry. Which is a moment of time will be swept away out of existence by the very power that first brought them into being and has for these centuries preserved them for utter dramatic end. My apologies. So we know what that is. So for my penance, I'll need to review the doctrine of biblical cosmology. All elements which make up the physical universe will be dissolved by heat and will utterly melt away to be found no more. Revelation 20:11. It is a picture that corresponds to modern theories of the end of the universe. The verb will be dissolved is a present passive participle from luo to untie and refers to the relaxation of the nuclear bond that holds atoms together. And I believe that's true science. This is how the elements will be destroyed by intense heat. The sobering prospect should be that we should cause us to pause and take stock of our behavior during our short stay on this earth. All right? We as positive believers should not build our hope, security, and happiness upon the things that are seen. We have to deal with them. They're important, but that should be not our primary focus. But are the things that are unseen as related to the new creation? And that would include the doctrine of SG3, eternal rewards. Hopefully today, you and I added to an account and built up our SG3 factor. Nick, would you turn the heat down a tad? Thank you. It is now hot in here. It's not unbearable. So we as believers should not build our hope, security, and happiness on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, as related to the new creation. Review doctrine of SG3. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Apply under your tests. Apply while you're on the job. Apply towards your family. Or whatever kind of special test that you may be under as a believer. The bigger the test, the bigger the reward. Peter uses two expressions related to phase two in unique construction, as both occur only here in the plural in the New Testament. Holy behaviors and pieties or godliness. The first obligation, ought, from the root to bind, followed by the present infinitive, to exist, incumbent on believers is holy conduct and behavior, which you learn from Bible doctrine. You learn the do's and the don'ts of the Christian way of life, involving thinking and action and speech. You assembled in this church tonight because it is a command. It's a divine imperative. Those who can't, for some reason, they have a legitimate excuse. But God has made us able to provide you with the information online. There's no excuse. You can get your doctrine there. For those separated from face-to-face teaching due to some kind of circumstances and are trying to get here, and we have a couple people that are, apparently, in prayer and trying to get relocated to Oklahoma City and get under face-to-face teaching, having been away from it for some decades, they're trying, so pray for them. You know who they are, I'm sure. And others. There are others. There's more than two. They're trying to get here, so please pray for them that they will be able to make it and be able to sit in a local church and function as a member of the body of Christ. That is a part of conduct. For a believer to get themselves right under face-to-face teaching and be an active member in a local assembly and function under their spiritual gift towards that body. once you identify your gift, and you'll figure it out. I mean, it's not just come here and run home. There's applications to be made. And pray about it. Pray about it. I want to make a contribution on behalf of Maranatha Church. I'm not talking about money. That's an application. I'm talking about general applications, things that need to be done. God will show you. We've got things we do around here. But that's between you and the Lord, and I'm not trying to dictate anything like that other than Peter likes this noun, anastrophe, using it 8 times out of a total of 13 in his 2 letters. Behavior in those verses in his 2 epistles. Christian conduct should be characterized by righteousness, hence the qualifying adjective holy. After all, God is holy, and so we should emulate God in our conduct towards one another and those on the outside and so forth. Our positional sanctification is that of plus R imputed. And our ultimate destiny of that is that of plus R, so it follows that our conduct should mimic the divine nature. That is to be holy as God is holy. Sounds like a really high calling, but you can do it. You know the doctrine, get yourself in fellowship, and along the way, be sure to be careful with regard to your associations with those on the outside. Yes, you have to go to work and you're around people. Someone told me they were wanting to invite me out to party with them. And they become resentful if you don't jump into their deal. You can be polite about it. You can be polite about it, but still no. I want to be as much as possible around people who love and know the truth, that I can have divine fellowship with them and so forth. So, we are to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16. This can only be attained where there is an awareness of the commandments and imperatives of Scripture, which I call the royal imperatives. As you know, you and I are royalty. People who are born into royalty, they are trained. They are trained. And I know a lot of it's just, you know, what it is. But they are trained in a certain type of behavior. So we are royal family. We should reflect our royalty. Not like a lot of royalty that's in history that has been so corrupt. Our behavior should not be predicated upon STA lusts, which, by the way, all the lusts of the world, all this running amok, all this stuff, is passing away. It's going to be passé, gone, gone, gone. And this won't be fully accomplished until humanity is in the day of the Lord, the day of God. So keep tabs on your behavior. Don't be saying stuff that isn't true. Don't be exaggerating stuff, making stuff up. Only dealing with facts. All these do not do's in Scripture. You have to avoid it. And when you do stumble, catch it, quit it. Stop it. Don't spend your time judging other believers. Judge not lest you be judged. Yes, you can look at a behavior of a believer or something they say and do that's out of line and recognize that's out of line. Because you have to be able to judge yourself. But you have to be careful. Because it's easy to miscue with regard to somebody. So our behavior should not be predicated on STA lusts, which, by the way, are passing away, but upon the Holy Spirit, our guide, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and resident Bible doctrine called in your Bible, we have the mind of Christ. Whatever you've learned in Bible class, and you got it and you know it, that part of it you have as the mind of Christ. And when you learn something new, you add to it. You build it up. Because we have analogies in Scripture that it's like building a building from the foundation up. How we handle ourselves at any given moment or situation determines the degree of our phase 3 glory and approbation. Yes, you and I are going to fail. We got verses to back that up. That believers stumble in many ways. But the important thing is to recognize it and to strive to do better. We are to isolate our former conduct as patterned after our old self. Ephesians 4, 22. He talks about the way in this letter Paul is talking about, you remember your former manner of life? You walked like the Gentiles walked. Walk is used here for modus operandi. This is what you did. In the emptiness or futility of their thinking, darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, which, of course, is their whole culture with its paganism and practices. Because of the hardness of their heart, and having become callous, they've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this fashion. If indeed you heard him and have been taught in him just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. There's a rebound. Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. The STA will fake you out. That it's going to make you happy in the moment. And then reality sits in. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's their face-to-face teaching. And put on the new self. Get in fellowship and let the new man dictate. The doctrine man. Not the flesh one. The doctrine one. The new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And he gives examples. Laying aside falsehood, telling lies. Would be included in that. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. There's a place for anger, righteous anger, by the way. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor a legitimate job, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. That's another obligation we have. That God blesses you and you can share with others. It's a real blessing to do that, to help others in their time of need. Maybe you've been the recipient of that. Application. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. A lot of sinning is in the mouth. But only such a word is good for edification. Well, that hits a lot of us. According to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's when you're out of fellowship. It's an expression, grieving the Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, rapture. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Malice is just a bad mental attitude. Some people just live with malice. They don't even have to know the person. And they have this attitude. This, be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Our conduct is in effect our witness before the cosmos. They're looking at you. You don't have to be saying praise Jesus and wearing a t-shirt. They're looking at the way you handle yourself. And that is a witness of the life. You don't act up. You don't respond to their STA stuff. There's a way to do it. That's why when you walk on that job, if you go to work tomorrow, or wherever you associate with the outside world, you make a determination that you're going to be a witness. You're going to witness the truth by the way you handle things. You're not one that freaks out about stuff. You're not the one that gets all carried away with all the stuff that they think is so important. You do your job as under the Lord. That includes your boss and your fellow employees. Okay. There is conduct specified for specific niches. The desire to be a Sarah's daughter. Conduct for the pastor teacher, we've looked at. There's conduct which God is opposed to and will expose and shut down. Sensual conduct. Those that were promoting this stuff. And they're all over out there saying that these kind of activities are okay. The second experiential term, godliness, has the connotation of devotion to deity. It too relates to a code of conduct. Here in the plural, eusebia, it refers to specific acts of devotion to God. Assembly, being here every time you can. I know things can get in the way, and that's if you have a legitimate reason, illness, or something else. I get it. Assembly, prayer. Application, as I've already said, under one spiritual gift or gifts. Forgiveness. The law of love. Giving. Various. Praise. Faith. Support of parents in need. 1 Timothy 5:4. If you can help your parents in need. Even if they're honoring father and mother. Where appropriate. Etc., etc. Godliness holds promise for time and eternity. 1 Timothy, here, verse 4:8. And this is where Paul is talking to Timothy as his pastor, teacher, who he's giving himself. He tells him to discipline yourself on purpose of godliness. For bodily exercise is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it's hold promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Sound doctrine conforms us to the godliness code versus the pseudo-godliness of legalism and monetary greed. Per those verses, godliness, when accompanied with contentment, that's another thing that we have to strive, to be content with our niche and our circumstances. Okay, you can write down on a piece of paper, well, what is my niche? Your age, your gender, you're married, you're not married, you're this, you're that, and to be content with those circumstances. Even if you desire certain things that are legitimate, you got to wait, as I was telling someone. I know this is a big patience test for you, but you got to wait on the Lord. He's not forsook you. He's going to take care of you. You wait on God. He's going to work it all for good. Keep praying about it. Hang in there. And I'm praying for you too. And you in particular situations that I am fully aware of. It may be a prolonged health test. It may be some other kind of a test that I know you're under. And I'm praying for you that you will stand up and deal with it, because somebody has done it before you in a magnificent way, and you want to be in that category. Well, I want this. Okay. Let's say it's legitimate, but you have to go about it the right way. Just rush into it, make it happen, and violate certain scripture to get there. So sound doctrine conforms us to godliness. Godliness, when accompanied with contentment, is the way to great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6. Be content with your circumstances, with your finances, with all around you. Just be content. If you're living alone, be content with it. God will take up the slack for you. We are to continually grow in this virtue. Application in view of the dissolution. Okay, well, like I say, if I get into it, then I'll have to warm it all up again, so I'm not going to do that. I'll save it for Sunday. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.